I must have put them under a different title. I do that sometimes. But anyway, we're starting off on 49:1 here. That was 2C, and I thought that was a good place to start. Now, it says, "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hark, ye people from afar, from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name." And it's talking about Mary. And Mary is Mother Mary. But Jesus did not inherit her carnal nature, because God formed himself in her womb and made himself in our womb and surrounded himself with sinless flesh, which like Adam had, it was sinless, but Adam sinned. Jesus did not sin from the time he formed himself in Mary's womb until he died on the cross, and he took our sins in his own body on the tree. Now in Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." She was a virgin, and she did not know the seed of man until after Jesus was born, because God was his father, and God is a spirit, and God formed himself in Mary's womb, and God and Jesus considered him her mother, his mother, and he was just and justified, God was, in the office of the Father, because he's the one that sent her to the Son, and the Son is the one who went back to heaven as the Holy Spirit of God, who's everywhere. And right now he dwells everywhere in every believer's heart. The degree to which he rules in that heart may be an entirely different matter, because only he really did enough to earn the full inheritance. And he was faithful. Says he was faithful in Hebrews. And he was faithful to share it with us. It's up there waiting for anybody that's willing to make a run at claiming it. But I suspect that none of us will ever dare to even think that we could maintain the standard that Jesus maintained. And that was the purpose of the law. Now, in Matthew 1:21-23, "And she shall bring forth a son, that thou shalt call his name Jesus. And the reason for that name is, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The disciples indicated that they handled him. They touched him. I don't know, they may have played tag together. We don't know what they did. But the things that are important, they recorded. But I'm sure that they were like men who grew to love him. And I'm sure they said things that weren't profane or anything. But I'm sure they laughed and had a good time. I'm sure of it, but even though I'm sure, I could be wrong. But the fact that as you read the New Testament, you get a feeling of what he's like. He's very dedicated. He's the most dedicated man who ever lived. He's extremely conscientious. He is a man of sorrows, and the sorrows were brought on him by the actions of man toward him. He's a quite serious man, but he wasn't a man who just shut his mouth all the time. When he had something to say, he said it, and he got right to the point, and he spoke in parables. A lot of people couldn't understand the parables. If they had gone to him and asked him, I think he would have revealed him, but they were afraid to ask him. Or just like most people are, they don't want to be asked questions in class. And I can understand that. I used to go to all kind of things, and I'd be hoping, oh, Lord, I hope they don't ask me any questions. And they always managed to get around to one. Fortunately, God always saw that I had some kind of an answer. I didn't say the right answer. I said some kind of an answer. And he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he shall save the people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child. Now, the reason I don't use any of those translations, I only use King James, I tell you this does not mean a young woman. But I remember when Rosie first came here, she asked me, why does it say a young woman? And I said, because that's not the correct translation. I said, it means virgin. She said, well, why do they do that? They say that it's because they want people to understand it better. Well, it means a whole lot more if you understand she was a virgin, because that's what this whole thing is about. A virgin of the Lord by the prophet saying. Now, we've had preachers here that used that Bible I'm thinking of. I never said a word to them about it. And some of them are my dearest friends. And I just never said anything. Because I have taught this for 40 years here. And if you don't understand why that shouldn't be a virgin, you don't have to tell them, just because it'll just cause trouble. And after a while, they're not here anymore. And I just overlook it and go on. But they're still my dear friends. A virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That's a perfect translation. That's exactly what it means. And whenever the kingdom of God is wherever God positions himself, God has chosen in every one of his churches, when they are assembled, to be in the midst of us. That's the way it is. I love it. But whether I loved it or not, I like it. Because that's what he says. And it's a comfort to me to know that Jesus is listening. And if I say something wrong, he helps me. And sometimes I notice it and I go back and correct it. And sometimes the next time I preach, I tell you, and I correct it. But that's one reason I know I'm led of the Spirit. Because he bugs me about things like that. And you can't take a word, a virgin, and say, well, that means a young woman. Well, it means a young woman, that's nice, but lots of young women aren't virgins. In today's society, most of them aren't. And I'm not making fun of them, that's just the way our society is. That used to come back to me, and when I was in school, I've told you this story too many times. No sense telling you any more of those stories. John 11:47-43. Then God gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man hath many miracles, doeth many miracles. Why in the Sam Hill didn't they realize that he was the Messiah? Why didn't they realize he was God? 48, if he let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. Guess who tried to hinder the truth? Religionist. I liked when Chuck preached here because he'd preach on religion all the time. I couldn't have agreed more with him. False religion is filled with false birds. And they're a danger. They teach false doctrine. And the woman shall come and take away both our place and nation. How many people would continue to go to an Assembly of God church if they discovered their pastor had been lying to them for years? And how would they like that? But he keeps preaching what he preaches because he wants to keep them there. He wants to keep them so afraid of God that they wouldn't dare miss church. And he would at least hint that they might go to hell if they did, and usually just tells them they will. So this heresy that crept into the church at first was just gentle, but the Catholics developed it to an art. Notice, they said, shall come and take away our place and nation. Many people that are pastors run scared. Have I ever run scared? Yeah. Have I gotten over it? I think I have. I don't run scared much anymore. I used to be scared they'd vacate the pulpit on me a long time ago. I'm not afraid anymore because I've learned that if you're doing what God wants, don't worry about whether they vacate the pulpit or not. And if they get a majority vote, let it go on. Go to another church. You don't have to scuff their feet, dust off your feet at the door of the church. You don't have to try to get even. Just go on to the next church. Cause as little trouble as possible. That's what I've always said I would do. But God has never let me know I'm supposed to leave here. And I told you all when I came here, I said, I'm here to stay until God moves me, didn't I? I told you that. And I guess people didn't think I meant it. But that I had even come to believe that when I came here. I thought, Lord, there ain't money here, but I'm here to the finish. And I said, I'll stay, Lord, as long as you want. And he has never moved on me to leave here. Finally, I got to talking. I mean, maybe I'm just not reading him right. And I went down and preached in view of a call down south of here. Big church. Big pay. Oh, man, it would be wonderful. Big parsonage, bigger than this one. And it was great. And the people loved me. They'd never heard expository preaching before. And when I just told them what it said simply, they thought this was wonderful. So they told me, after I went down there, they said, Brother McMurray, the deacons came, all a bunch of them, all the deacons, really. And they said, we're going to call you. I said, well, that's nice. I said, I'll pray about it this afternoon. As I was going out the door, there was an old man standing there on a cane. He looked over at me and he said, young man, you look like a pretty nice fella. He said, I heard you say you were going to pray about it this afternoon. He said, I know you're a God-called man, I can tell. But he said, Brother McMurray, he said, this church has got more trouble than an attack of locusts. And he said, they will run you off if you ever start preaching the full truth. And the old man I think he was crying. I won't swear to that. But I went on out, and I prayed about it. And I told him that night, I said, listen, I was told this afternoon you all were going to call me. And it was after I finished preaching. I said, that's a great honor, and I really appreciate it. I said, I'm not saying you are or you aren't. But I said, the man that's coming in here next week, I said, I know personally. And I said, he's a better preacher than I am. I said, he's been in the ministry longer, and he really loves people. And I said, I'm not coming. I said, I came down here because I thought maybe I wasn't reading God's signals right. I said, I never felt the desire to come down here, but I felt like I needed to give God a chance to do. Maybe I was blocking him. But I said, I can't come. And I left and I came back home and I ain't been anywhere since. Because I just said, this is it. So don't worry about me leaving. God's kept me here. And if God keeps me here, I ain't going. Now, if you get violent and run me off, I'll go. Because I'll figure that's God's will. But until you do, I'm going to do what God wants.
I've always told Tommy, try to leave, I'm going to blow his truck up.
I'd hitchhike. Okay. If we let him thus alone, he says, and one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, he was a high priest. Because he was high priest, he told the truth. He says, ye know nothing at all. You know nothing at all. Nor consider that it is expedient for us. This is a prophecy by a man who was a false high priest. He says, that same year, said, you know nothing at all. This is a prophecy, a correct prophecy. Nor consider that it is expedient that one man should die for the people and the whole nation perish not. Amen. God does speak through people that are void of the Spirit. And when he's got something he wants to get across and the rest of them won't say anything, God will use a lost man. Now, I'm not saying that's why he did it here, But and he may have been saved. But he issued he was a high priest that year, and he was as phony as a $3 bill. And yet it's the truth. So the rest of them, I guess they listened to him a little bit, but they went ahead and crucified him anyway. That's exactly what he said was going to happen. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation. It was a prophecy from God. And many of the things that false prophets have uttered, some of it's been true. And that whole bunch was mixed up. But along came Caiaphas, and God worked through him and just told him the truth. Still didn't believe it. They still didn't believe it. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Well, he's gathering them back again today. There they are in place. There they are. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. The disciples told him who he was. Their high priest, who was a phony, told him who he was. They still wouldn't believe. Does that mean I'm vindictive toward him? No. I feel very sorry for him. If God hadn't shown me these things, Lord only knows what I would believe. If the Father, in the office of Father, if God hadn't sent me to the office of the Son, and the Son hadn't convicted me by His Holy Spirit when I was 7 years old, I wouldn't have gone through 4 years of great heart trouble. But He loved me that much. He put up with me for 4 years resisting the Spirit. And finally, I hope it wasn't my last chance, but I believed it. And I asked Him to save me. And that's what belief is. I finally believed He could and would because He said so. He says, I got to get you all out of here in time. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, I didn't have trouble knowing about that. Galatians 3:24, there wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. I didn't know God was trying to teach me what a sinner I was. But if anybody had asked me, I'd say, man, He's doing a great job. I said, it started when I was 4 years ago, and I said, every year I get worse. You believe I actually learned that? Romans 7, 21 through 25. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I didn't have any problem, but this was Paul. I said, and he was saved? For I did. I know, you remember Leland that used to come up here? I tried desperately. Everywhere I went, he went, and he believed you had to keep the law after you were saved. He broke my heart. He was the meekest little fellow I ever saw. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity, the law of sin which is in my members. The carnal man doesn't want to apologize. The carnal man doesn't want you to admit you were wrong. And if he's the mammon in your life that you're so proud that you don't want to admit you're wrong about something, how can God ever convert you after you're saved? Which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. I'm not a wretched man anymore. I'm very ashamed of my carnal nature. But I just thank God I found out what a bum I am before I died. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I don't have to deliver myself from the body of this death. Jesus did it on the cross. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why I'm going to heaven. So then with the mind, the carnal mind, I myself, so with the spiritual mind, so with the mind of Christ, let this mind be in you. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Listen, my flesh can't serve. Can't serve God. It can fake it. It can fake it. And before I got saved, I faked it. During that 4 years I had conviction, the preacher would say, Brother Mike, ain't it wonderful knowing you're saved? And I'd say, yes, sir. And the truth was, I was lost and headed straight for hell, and I didn't know what to tell him. You think I'm going to say, I'm lost and headed straight for hell? No, but that's what I thought. And I was right. But God kept after me. He says, 1 Corinthians 15:55 through 58. O death, where is thy sting? It's gone. G-O-N-E, gone. O grave, where is thy victory? I got the victory. Jesus won the victory. He removed the sting of death. Because I know where I'm going and I know where I'm going to be. The sting of death is sin. I still got a sinful nature. And the strength of sin is the law. If I try to keep it, I'm the most miserable man on the surface of the earth. If I confess my sins, I know He forgives me. He says He will. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus is the overcomer. I'm in Him. He's in me. Who do you think that keeps me on track? The Lord. And when I go to Him and confess my sins, He is faithful and just to forgive me. And I'm just as clean as I was the night I was saved. You say, well, how long does that last? Until I give in to the carnal nature. That's called fellowship. I can't lose my salvation, but I can lose my fellowship. God told Peter he had to wash his feet, and Peter said, well, wash all of me. And that's what you do when you repent of your sins. He washes all of you. And don't just say, it's my sin, because you got more than the chipmunks got nuts. He says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You think I'm sitting here in vain? You think because we don't have a building full, I'm sitting here in vain? That doesn't have anything at all to do with it. I was called to preach this. I'm preaching it. And I love to do it. You say, do you feel better when you get a bigger crowd? I used to. You say, well, what was that? Spiritual ignorance. I wasn't called to personally save people and to draw them into the church. I was called to teach the Word, to preach the Word. And God takes care of that. He's everywhere. And if I teach the Word and they won't come in, and when they hear it, they stop coming, then what am I supposed to do? Go out and pull them back in? If you pull them back in, you'll have more trouble the second time than you did the first. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. Believe me, I did that when I first came here. And I had more trouble out of a lot of those I pulled back in than you can possibly imagine. But I felt it was my obligation and duty. And I did. Well, I'm going to learn about this. I'm learning. I'm being converted. And I know what love is now. And I hope to learn more about it. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The same reason they left is the same reason they'll live again. They'll leave again. That comes from experience. From the time I've been here, it's just that way. And believe me, I've been in enough missionary Baptist churches to know that's just a local phenomena here. 1 Corinthians 2:2-9. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's it. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. When He was crucified, He paid the price for all sins from the very beginning. When they first began to call upon the name of the Lord, He paid the price for all of it. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Church of Christ, point one. Do this, do this, do this, do this. Step one, step two, step three, step four, step five. That's exactly what he's talking about. And the other churches, maybe they don't go that far, but they say you got to be baptized. And they go on and say, you got to do it. And if you get baptized and they think it's okay, and then you start observing the Lord's Supper the way they do, it's a violation of God's will. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I believe what God said. And I called upon His name, and I'm saved, and I'm His, and I'm going to heaven. But as it is written, I have not seen. What kind of eye is that? Spiritual eye. Hath not seen, nor ear heard. That's also true of a physical eye. They haven't seen. They haven't heard. Neither have entered into the heart of man. Those are spirit. That's a spiritual eye. That's a spiritual heart. That's a spiritual ear. The things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You don't love God if you don't have any interest in the inheritance. Esau didn't have any interest. Esau was a man who served for the moment. He wanted some goodies. And he got some goodies here. Got recognition, attention, and praise. And what happened? He was classified as a profane person. That's what it says in Hebrew. Now, I've taught this many times, and I'll just mention it in passing. When I die, I want to say I fought a good fight. I want to say I finished my course, and I want to say I've kept the faith. I want to be doing those three things. And it's a routine. It's something a pastor has to learn to do, or he never makes it. Or he makes it to heaven. But he never finds any relief. What's a good fight? I confess my sins daily. I try not to let the sun go down on my wrath. I confess it before the day is over. I let the Lord wash my feet all the time with his word. He washes my feet as I tramp through life and pick up more sin. More different things I never even knew were sin. And what about I kept the faith? Well, here I am. I'm in the right church. I teach and observe the ordinances that God left us. So I'll just tell you straight out. That's what I'm planning on doing. You say, what if you fail? Well, it won't be God's fault. It'll be my fault. What, I won't go to hell. Because there are people in heaven right now, according to Hebrews, that are people who have feared the Lord, and who have believed. They'll be outside the wall. I'm not anxious to be outside that wall. I'd rather be inside, but I know I'm not going to be in hell, and that's pretty big relief. Michael, you want to dismiss us?